Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us This Week in America. Online, of course, thisweekinamerica.us. Our guest on today's This Week in America, George Megan, is an adventurer, lecturer, world traveler. He holds the most official world records, 8 of any European. This includes the longest unbroken march of all time. When George was 24 years old, an elementary school dropout, a British seaman, he decided to take the longest walk in human history. He did it without any special equipment, no foundation bankroll, in fact had no financial backing of any kind. From the southern tip of South America to the northernmost part of Alaska at Prudhoe Bay, the epic journey, 19,019 miles, 2,425 days, and he did it all on foot. And it's chronicled in his book, The Longest Walk, The Record of Our World's First Crossing in the Entire Americas by George Megan, and he's our guest on today's This Week in America. George, welcome to the program. This is going to be so much fun. I'm so much looking forward to having you with us today to talk about this story. Thank you for being with us.
Well, it's a great pleasure, Rick, to be once again in communication with the great country America.
Yes, and you have done so much over here, and we'll talk about that during the course of the program. Let's go back to where this all began for you. I understand you lived about a mile from the home of Sir Francis Drake. Is that where this idea of, is there something in the water down there? Is that where this whole idea of being an explorer came from? Because from an early age, you really were after the life of high adventure.
When I was 5 years old, I was walking up the road to shop for my mother to get a cup of sugar or something. And I was worried, even at the age of 5, how I would manage in the great deserts of the world. And that's where it began. And Sir Francis Drake was the curate's son in Upchurch, and he's from the very same region that we are. And this is the most historic region of Great Britain because it's nearest to France. Canterbury is near, Dover is near, it's all in Kent.
Yeah, in the early days, you were as a teenager, you go to sea. You're part of the merchant navy. Talk about this decision to take off on this expedition. No one has ever done anything like this before. Why did you decide? How did you decide? I'm going to do this.
I was on the British Merchant Navy ship, and we were down to South Africa, Cape Town, in about 3 weeks and doing about 10 and a half knots going down there. And I thought the world is much smaller than we imagine, and such an adventure is feasible. And so I set out. I went to meet the explorer who reached the first crossing of South America, named Sebastian Snow, and he said this adventure has never been done, and it ought to be done. And the word ought gave me permission to go to Tierra del Fuego. I worked a passage on Blue Star Line and found my way down to the south, and then turned round north and began what became the longest unbroken march of all time. But at that time, you just think day to day. You don't think of the enormity of several years. I thought it might take 4 years, but in fact it took nearly 7 years.
When you started this, what plans did you have? I mentioned you didn't have any special equipment. You didn't really have any funding lined up. What were your plans, or did you sort of figure, I'll make this happen as I go. I'll make this happen. I'll figure this out as I'm walking.
I saved up 11,000 pounds from the merchant navy, and the only plan was to turn north. I had a tent, a little bit of cooking stuff, and a sleeping bag, and I was with my partner Yoshiko, a girl I met in Japan, and she thought the whole thing was a bus trip, and found out it wasn't. And I said, only another 19,000 miles to go, dear, and she tried to punch me sitting on the road. And then it started to rain, and we began to make up, to kiss under a wet bush, and And I said, Yoshiko, there's somebody pointing a revolver at your head. And there was an escaped prisoner, had a gun at her head. And she stood up very gallantly, as the Japanese often are. And she bowed and spoke in Japanese. And the escaped prisoner ran for it. And a posse on horseback with shotguns came by about half an hour later, chasing the miscreant there.
With us on the program is George Megan. He is the author of the book, The Longest Walk, The Record of Our World's First Crossing of the Entire Americas. The book is available at bookventure.com in their bookstore. George's website is George Megan, that's megan.jimdo.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to George's website. And his email is very simple. If you'd like to reach out, it's georgemegan@gmail.com. And again, I'll repeat this throughout the program, and you can find it and link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Did you make up the route as you traveled, or did you have some idea how you were going to go across the Americas?
The main thing is to get to the beginning, and a journey of 1,000 miles is begun by a single step. And the adventure with Yoshiko and the pistol was just 300 yards into South America, and already we'd had a pretty major adventure. And then we went on and on and on, and Yoshiko became what the Spanish call embarazada. She became pregnant and had to return to Japan, and I was resolved to continue the longest journey onward. And the thing you need is a good immune system and a confidence to be on your own for long periods of time. And I had that, but I'm not physically presupposing at all. And I couldn't carry my gear because I had the worst skin. I had acne, very bad, the worst case in the Medway towns. And so I was at a shipyard, and they made a couple of carts which we could pull along, and that also became pacifying to me, because when I was alone, I wasn't a lone man with a big rucksack, but I was my own beast of burden. And so I made myself alone, and I could stay with Indian groups and there'd be no problem, because I was, as I say, a beast of burden, as they were indeed.
Talk about the people you met along the way, and you write about them extensively in George's book, The Longest Walk, The Record of a World's First Crossing of the Entire Americas. You really met some wonderful people along the way, and again, it seemed like the people that gave the most to you were the people that probably had the least to give in terms of material things.
There are so many people. I know somebody in every community in the Americas, from bottom to top. How lucky I am. I'm thinking of an Indian lady who was smoking a cigar in her mouth, but the hot end was put into her mouth, and then she blew it and says, "You've walked from the moon, and our men tell us not to be frightened of you," which is the beast of burden capacity also. It was a tremendous thing, and you can trust people, unless they're distorted in some way. And we crossed the Argentine Republic during the height of the dirty war, and we would meet people escaping from the military, and we had a wedding in Mendoza, and the wedding was broken up by the army, who appeared in steel helmets and sawn-off shotguns, and they demanded of our Argentine friends that they show internal passports, and the fear was to be disappeared, and that was the situation of Argentina. And in the northern town of Jujuy, I was there, and the secret police picked me up 3 times and took me in. But I always had a few newspaper cuttings and things like this from the Argentine press, and I could show them, show that I'm for real, that I really am attempting to connect the wonderful peoples of the America. And I'm also thinking that the Darien Gap is a special thing, and it's unconnected by road because of the fear of South American animal diseases going up the road into the United States of America. And we can't have that now, can we, Rick?
No, we do not want that. And it's such a fascinating account of this this trip. I would say trip, that makes it sound like it was sort of a vacation, this trek that that George was on in his book, The Longest Walk, The Record of Our World's First Crossing of the Entire Americas. George Megan, our guest on the program. You Google it at M-E-E-G-A-N. When you get to the United States, you decide to take a detour. Now, for a lot of us, a detour, it may be a couple of irritating miles out of our way. This was, what, a two-year detour so you could go through Washington, D.C. Talk about that.
Yeah. In the 1920s, a Swiss gentleman named Tischfeli took two horses from Buenos Aires to Washington and met President Calvin Coolidge. And I felt that I had emulated that by a bit further. And I had the great honor of meeting that oldest of presidents now, President Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
And he very kindly, his mother-in-law, gave me $20 from a tea tin, and she gave me in twos and a five and very low ranked numbers on the $20, and that was to me the celebration. And she said, to help you on your way, George. And that is what they said in South America, as they did in Plains, Georgia.
You know, it's interesting, and put this in perspective, at the time, no human had ever traversed the Americas, be it by vehicle or even aircraft. And George, if you just joined us, he did this on foot. So this was very important for you to set this record, and you did it all on foot. There wasn't like hopping on a bus for a while when things got difficult. This was all on foot.
And there was also no ship. It was the first crossing of the Americas by any means, and it has geographical history. And the antecedents, if I say that right, are the conquistadors of Spanish America 500 years before, and they would have fully understood that journey. The people of Great Britain do not really understand that journey, but the Americans do, because of the bigness of the spirit of the Americans.
No, it's interesting, and we're rapidly running out of time, but it's such a fascinating journey. As I said, this was a journey that took 2,425 days. You can read it in George's book, The Longest Walk, The Record of Our World's First Crossing of the Entire Americas. When this was over, you became basically an international hero, came back on television, and people can probably recall at the time, you were featured on all of the morning shows, the evening news programs, Larry King, on all of the programs. People magazine saying you were the most unknown bio person they ever did. A couple of major stories on George. Talk about that. And then the Democracy Reaches the Kids. This is something really, I mean, you got a unique perspective of humankind and this part of the world. Talk about the Democracy Reaches the Kids, that curriculum you put together.
Yeah, I decided to look at. I met somebody who was the last speaker of the EAC language in Alaska, and I was so disturbed. I did some research, which got the EB1 extraordinary capacity visa, and I send out videos to educational institutes to see whether they're interested. There's something that I recall. On the last day, I walked the wrong way. I walked back to South America because I didn't really want to finish the world's greatest journey of that kind. And when I reached the Arctic Ocean, I collapsed and wept into the ocean because I'd lost my best friend.
The Longest Walk. It's such a touching memoir of this trek that George was on, the record of our world's first crossing of the entire Americas. The book's available at bookventure.com. George's website, and I'll give this again as I wrap up in a few minutes, georgemegan.jimdo.com. And I'll give you George's email as well. In the time since then, I know you mentioned Alaska and language. You've been concerned about the final extinction of Alaska's remaining language. You sort of bring us the, what I'll call the vagaries of social justice. You really had a unique perspective, didn't you, of a number of civilizations?
The the journey gave me a different perspective, and I understand that the future belongs entirely and completely with the children, and the children are so dominated by school schedules and other things that I thought, what is the definition, and made the first definition of what a modern education might look at, and I defined that just a few subjects, you know, the three R's and a few bits more, and that's it. And so many other things are put onto education. It's become a bureaucratic process. And I've been with the Extraordinary Capacity Visa for 20 years, and not one educational institute has ever replied. But I'm a determined person, and I will go on until I cannot go on any longer. I'm 68 years of age now, and I'm determined to get the alternative out, where kids can have their own dreams and become fully educated. And that's the magic that I developed. And thank goodness for the Ministry of Justice of the United States, which gave me that extraordinary capacity visa, because they give me confidence to go on and on. And we will break through at some point. I'm here with my school friend of 58 years ago, and we work on this every Wednesday, and I'm with him now, and we do our best for the kids of the world, so that their dreams and the culture destruction, one indigenous culture is being destroyed per day, every single day, and we can reverse that, so that they can keep their culture and also get an education as redefined. And it's the first redefinition of curriculum in 125 years.
You bring such a fascinating perspective, because we read that and we don't know these people. We don't usually even know where they are. We read them, they're a headline, we go on to something else. With many of these people, civilizations, you lived with them, didn't you?
I live with the people, and I was walking in Honduras, and I saw a broken building at the top of a hill, and the person there said he saw me coming up towards him, and he was a doctor, and he said, you must go to Copan, because that is the center of the Mayan culture, and there I saw where the they had a game, rather like basketball, and the winner of the game, do you know what happened to him, Rick?
No.
What happened to the winner? Well, he was executed, and happily to be so, for being executed at the top of his life, rather than the sickness at the end of his life. And he sent me to Copan, and so many wonderful people.
It's such a wonderful book. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but I highly encourage you getting a copy of the book, and you can do that by going to bookventure.com at their bookstore, George's website, and I'll do this again, George Meegan, meegan.jimdo.com. Great website, blogs on there, a lot of information, and of course you can order get information on the book there as well. If you go to our website, you can link on to all of that, thisweekinamerica.us. And George's email is georgemeegan@gmail.com. You can get in touch with him that way as well. George, it has been a pleasure to have you on the program. As you work on all of this, you certainly know perseverance. It took over 7 years to complete this mission. You know what staying the course is all about, and I wish you the best of luck with that project and so much more. Thank you for being with us on the program.
I've got one more thing today. The
yes.
Children of the United States shine with a greater light than any I've ever met before anywhere else in the world. So congratulations to America on that. And why it should be, God knows. We don't know. But it is. It happens to be true.
Well, that's good to hear. And thank you for sharing that information. We need something like that positive, the way the world is right now. George Meegan, our guest on the program, his book, The Longest Walk, the record of a world's first crossing of the entire Americas, a number of records he holds, including the longest unbroken march of all time. A fascinating read, his chronicle, The Longest Walk, Again, you'll find it at bookventure.com, the bookstore at George's website. Link onto all of those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.